Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, and I'll say this. He's gotten that opportunity more times than not this season. And I think I could make a case, or we can, all depending on how you feel, that he hasn't taken advantage of it. And I was thinking of that Thunder team to where they really don't have a dog. I was like, EP, he would feast in that type of atmosphere. But I just think about the system the Warriors run in their offense to where I don't understand, because they need his services, Dibs, but, you know, he hasn't been there to answer the bell.
Yeah, it's been a challenge with the injuries and just the way the team has played without Pascal, Oubre, and Wiseman. And I know it's a small sample, especially with the last four all being victories and against teams that, other than Denver, that you should, quote-unquote, beat. Be interesting to see over these next two with Philadelphia and Boston if they can continue to sustain the momentum, especially defensively. And I know this is something that Juan Toscano-Anderson, who will join us at the bottom of the hour, 11:30, talked about. It feels like defensively they've got a great unit out there. Everyone's on the same page, and they're playing with a certain amount of defensive intensity, which, of course, transitions into good early offense.
Yeah, and it's the perfect formula for this Warriors team when you're playing that level of D, and then you can get the ball in Steph's hands, or Draymond can grab it and push the tempo, and they're playing at the great pace, and it ignites Curry to do well what he's been doing over the course of the last nine games. It's funny, producer Kyle had mentioned this, Goo, during the last break. He said, I said, well, Kyle's we're going brilliant. Over Warriors hooks, right? We're going over Warriors hooks and different things. And it's like, and he says, Steph. And I go, oh, yeah, Steph. Yeah, 33. And he goes, 33 just feels pedestrian, like he had a bad game. But here's his 33 on 4 of 13. But that's the bad game, Goo. So we're not even talking about Steph today because he only had 33.
Yeah, and Dibs, what did we set it at? 40 yesterday. And I got a good nugget for you guys with some barbecue sauce. You may already know it. But there's only two other gentlemen at the age of 33 that have gone nine straight games with 30 points. Can you guys name them? I love that I came up with this.
Wow.
Two guys other than Curry at the age of 33 to score 30 points nine straight games. There's two of them. I'll give you guys a crack at it.
I'll go Kobe. Yeah, Kobe's always a name you throw out anytime you're talking about points.
Give him the thumbs up on that one.
Okay.
Dipper
we'll put Kobe
got
on
that
the board.
One.
Okay. Nice.
And then one more. 33 years old, nine straight 30 games.
Man, nine straight. My heart tells me to lean toward Iverson, but JD, I don't know if Iverson at 33 had that kind of run. I'm thinking Kareem, but Kareem always felt to me like a 25 to 27 a night guy. Jordan at 33, he was, I'll go with Jordan. Michael Jordan would be my next
guess.
Well,
damn, Dibs, he's the winner, Dibs. And he did it twice. Jordan did it twice in the same season. So how about that? But he got it.
Yeah, and Goo, you mentioned
kind of disappointed, but good job, Dibs.
Yeah, and if Dibs had not gone with Jordan, I was going to try to steer Dibs down that Jordan path as well.
Right.
So, yeah, those two. And by the way, happy birthday to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He came up today. Kareem,
the cap.
74.
Wow.
The captain, 74
we take him for
years
granted,
old today.
We take
happy
him for
birthday
granted.
To Kareem.
Did you say 74?
Yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, April 16, 1947. So
congratulations.
Yeah, don't take that lightly, Sam.
Yeah, no doubt.
Guy born in 2003. You know, make fun of Kareem.
A little young punk. Yeah.
Yes, I hate him.
Let's get to some phone calls, guys. 888-957-9570. The coach in Vallejo. What's going on, coach?
Hey, good morning, guys. And I've been listening. I enjoy your show, of course. But when I almost choked when you talk about Jordan Poole as a Warriors sixth man. Mm. The guy would be lucky to be on the team next year. He shoots a terrible percentage. He throws the ball up there. He's a terrible ball handler. He's a turnover machine. He plays no defense. God bless him. He tries very hard out there. But I would love to see Toscano come into the game every time before Jordan Poole. Toscano even handles the ball better than Jordan Poole. I know he's not a guard. But, I mean, even Poole, he gets lucky and throws in a couple of three-pointers and everybody goes crazy. But the guy's shooting percentage is still terrible. So that's all I really wanted to say. I hate to knock people, but Jordan Poole, heck, he wasn't even the best player on his college team. So, anyway, that's my take.
All right, thanks for the call, Goo. You want to respond to that?
I mean, you feel how you feel. He had his reasons. I just wonder how the org is feeling, Dibs. I know they don't feel that down on him, but I feel like I'm watching a kid take advantage of the opportunity, but I don't know what it's going to mean at the end. But he's definitely a guy that can put it on in the hole on a good day. Six man, he's playing himself into staying on this team. How about that?
Right, and the notion of six man to me is not that critical. Same thing as, you got to be a starter. No, what's important is, are you a finisher? Are you a closer? And for Jordan Poole to go from where he was last year, especially early on, JD, where he also played ahead of his readiness out of necessity, and now you look at him this year, and he's played better. He's looked better in many spots.
He has, and I don't know what the ultimate role is. I wouldn't plug him in, and you're right, six man is semantics. His value is, can he go be a Lou Williams type of player? Doesn't have to be that good, but put the ball in his hands, get him shots, and he's going to be a bucket on a night-in, night-out basis at an efficient level. And you look at it throughout this season, I mean, the three-point percentage, 34-7, right now from three-point range. I think where he has improved is the in-between game, the floater game, finishing at the basket. I think he's improved there, and his ability to drop the ball off, I think, to other players as he creates. You know, that's something, not a true point guard, but a skill, Goo, that for him to have that in the bag, I think is important. But I'm a little more reluctant to just pencil him in with a guaranteed role. But, yeah, much different position between him and JTA.
Yeah, and I'll say this. He wasn't the number two pick, and I'm going to where you started out. Dibs talking about Wiseman in the G League. I thought Jordan Poole's career and tenure as a Warrior was over. And I just want to commend him from a mental standpoint of when they told him, you're going to the G League. Let's be honest. There's some guys in this league that think they're better than they are throughout the history of the league. And had he been like, I'm above that, I'm Jordan Poole, you know who I am, this could have went a whole different way. And he's come back from his G League stint to ball out, some days more than others, and I got to give him that feather in his cap, Dibs. He has shown that his game has gotten better after going to the G League, because it could have went the other way.
Yeah, shout out Rolling Stones was shattered. His confidence was absolutely in disarray, and, you know, last year was tough because he was asked to do more and play more than any other rook would have been expected to. Klay Thompson out, Steph got hurt, pandemic season, and he struggled. And to his credit, he went down to the G League. And coach in Vallejo's right, he's not a finished product, but you're seeing him do something that virtually no one else in the second unit can do, and that is score the basketball with some consistency. The rest of the stuff you would hope would continue to improve, his care of the ball and his ability to defend. But one thing, JD, is he showed you is he can score in our league.
Yeah, he can, and that's the key. Can he do that consistently and efficiently? If he can, then to me he can play, If he doesn't do that, then he's probably going to need a seat on the bench. Let's get to Igor in the city. Igor's up next. What's up, Igor?
Thank you for taking my call. Guru smoking Nelly Kush or crack or something. First of all, he wants to be Mr. Optimistic to talk about how Pascal is nice. And I heard him a couple weeks ago. I like his upper body. And now...
Nope. Did we lose Igor? Gone.
And
he's coming
and
down
I
your road, Goo.
About, yeah, I said he had a big butt. I ain't said nothing about the upper body. So
why'd you cut him off,
Goo? Tell that caller to call back. I didn't cut him off. I was waiting on to hear what he heard. But, yeah, I've been consistent with what I've said about Pascal. Like, you know, he's been hurt. This is opportunity. And we had conversations early. Was he the sixth man? And that's kind of evaporated.
Yeah, he's somebody that I think is trending toward being on the outside looking in as far as a role for next year on this Warriors team. Let's give away some money. It's time now for the Splash for Cash contest. Your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word CART to 72881. That's CART to 72881. Brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware, Patio, Garden, and more. At Osh.com. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Yeah, if you look at Pascal at this point, is whoa, it must be payday for Goo as I get back locked in on the Zoom. We're doing the cash contest, and for those scoring at home, we got the Zoom, obviously, so we can see each other during the show, and Goo was basically making it rain.
I
was doing
DMK.
The cash contest read.
Dollar bills, though, dude.
Cash money millionaires.
Cash me out one time.
There you go. That's great. Rain dance.
That's also good. Kevin Dana. Love it.
So, go ahead. No, Pascal, I think, is out at this point. Poole, I think, would be in at this point. I think JTA's on the roster at this point. I don't know. I mean, I think Pascal, if he can get healthy, could get an opportunity to still finish favorably because the Warriors are playing small and they're looking for bigs. But as far as maybe who's in, who's out in that back end roster battle, I think Pascal finds himself in a different category with respect to that of Jordan Poole and even our guest who's coming up here at 11:30, Juan Toscano-Anderson. All right, 888-957-9570. More phone calls coming up here. 888-957-9570, and then Juan Toscano-Anderson at 11:30. That's all straight ahead right here at 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Look at Sam on the ones and twos. Good,
oh, yeah.
Good stuff there. Playing the hits as they're called upon, Dibs.
Boom, Shadoobie, shattered. Jordan Poole goes 2 of 11. He goes 3 of 17. You know his confidence was a little bit Shadoobie, shattered.
Well, I think his confidence is ever shattered, though, Goo. Jordan Poole's got guru-like confidence, man. Nothing can keep him down.
And I'll say this. I appreciate that, JD. You broadcasted my performance at the Chris Haynes Invitational a couple of years back when I went 0 for 11. Remember that? You were on the mic right there front row. I remember.
I do remember that.
I was just going to say, Jordan Poole has a sneaky first step. Don't sleep on his first step. He can create. That's where I'm going. Now, the passing can improve, but your boy shoots, ain't met a shot he don't like. How about that? Lou Williams is great. I love that comp.
Yeah, he needs to just have that mentality. Go be confident. I think, if anything, when Steph was out, I think, you know, it threw everything off a little bit where he gets put into the starting lineup. But I also think when he was initially forced to – Steph comes back, he goes to the backup combo guard slot. And it was almost as if, Dibs, he was trying to be a point guard. It was almost as if he was trying to learn how to bring the ball up, get the team into their offense. You're bringing the ball up, but you need to bring the ball up. Maybe you make a pass and look to get it back, or maybe you just look to be forceful with the ball and make a play for yourself and get a shot up. And I think it kind of led us down this path of, well, does he need to play with a point guard to help set him up or not? And for me, the answer is no. Like, his path to playing is be that lead backup guard and go get yours, son.
Yeah, and let's also remember, JD, that he's not even 22 years old. He'll be 22 in June. Wow. So a lot of times I think that we forget and we don't put proper perspective on players. You know, last year as a 20-year-old, he was forced to play more minutes than he probably was ready to do. And this year he's averaging four fewer minutes per game and his percentages are way up. He went from 33% from the floor to 44%. His three ball last year was 28. Now it's 35%. So he's showing signs of improvement and he still is such a young player.
Yeah, and I just that mentality to me is like when he's at his best, he has to have that unabashed. You dropped the Kevin Durant, goo. You said I'm Kevin Durant. I'm Jordan Poole. You know who I am. He needs a little bit of that mentality.
You know who I am.
Yeah, he needs a little of that mentality. As far as you know, you don't have to say speak on it like that, goo, in the media, but play like that.
Yeah, and he's shown me he has the guts of a cat burglar. He, like I said, he ain't met a shot he don't like, and that's what you want coming off the bench. And if he can refine that, it'll be interesting to see. But I think right now, if you were to ask me, hey, Goo, is Jordan Poole part of this team next year? You know, is he going to get run? Dibs out emphatically, yes.
Yeah.
And credit to his season.
Yeah, I think – yeah, I think he's in it. Just which role is it going to be? I mean, really is what it boils down to. And you look at, you know, I think that's the bigger question as far as all of these guys for the Warriors, because they have this sweet spot of, you know, who the starters are going to be, at least projected. But then they also potentially have Klay Thompson, who could be out at the start. They've got Wiseman, who could be out at the start. So you need some insurance policies, Dibs, at those positions. But you also need an infusion of talent at that 6-7-8 slot. But then you have guys that you like in a Poole and a Juan Toscano-Anderson, and maybe to a lesser extent veterans like Damian Lee and Kent Bazemore. Filling out those puzzle pieces is not going to be an easy thing for Bob Myers, Dibs.
No, especially if you don't get anything for Kelly Oubre Jr. If he leaves and that spot that, you know, with his bird rights where you could do a sign and trade and replace that salary spot with something. That, for me, off-season-wise, is job number one for Bob Myers. If Kelly Oubre Jr. is not going to stay, and I would say it's a 10% chance that he stays, 90% that he wants to go elsewhere, what can you do with that? Because if you don't have Oubre Jr.'s bird rights and you can't replace him with another player whose bird rights you can claim, well, then you can't replace him. And I know Juan Toscano-Anderson coming up in 10 minutes is a great find, and he's a piece who's going to help you if you can keep him, but you're going to need to have another additional piece to add, somebody who is, you know, of Kelly Oubre Jr.'s caliber in that starting lineup.
Dibs, I was thinking that same thing a couple of nights ago, and I thought about, you know, I got to tell you, dirty little confession. I've been watching the Minnesota Timberwolves play basketball. They've been a bit of a fun watch when I have nothing to do. And if somehow I'm going Chris Williams, the great R&B singer, had a hit song, Dreamin'. Do you guys think I'm dreaming that if the Warriors get, you know, Minnesota's pick and it's out of the top three, that guy, whoever they pick, could be Oubre's replacement, guys? What do you think about that?
Don't wake me, I'm dreaming, goo. Oh, what a great poll there.
Pretty boy Chris Williams, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't wake me. Yeah, anyway, what do you think about that? That could be Oubre's replacement. Minnesota's picking the draft. Let's go. No.
I don't know. I mean, we're seeing it with Wiseman right now. And I know it's different, Dibs, for a big than it would be for a wing player. And look, this draft projects to have many wing players that are ready to come in and play at some level. But I think it could eventually be that player. But what you want in the perfect world is somebody that could step right in day one and fill that void. That's where I worry about the conversation we always have about player development and because the Warriors just can't wait, Dibs, that the 2 years to get that guy ready.
You're being a pessimist, right, and you know it.
If you could somehow find your way into Jalen Suggs, who I think has the you know, he's got the kind of game, I think, that's ready-made for the NBA. He can handle, he can pass, he can shoot. He's the kind of player, I think, that you could draft and expect to be a rotation player from day one. But then again, I don't know if you're going to be able to climb that high in the draft, depending on what happens in the lottery with Minnesota's protected pick, et cetera.
Yeah, you got to hope, Goo, that it's four. You got to hope that it's,
no doubt.
You know,
yeah. four. Brett Favre.
Four, five, maybe, and you wind up having somebody slip. Yeah, you don't want seven. I don't think you want, five would be all right, but you don't want six or seven, Goo.
No doubt. Let me share something with you, too. I explained to you guys this about a week ago, the pleasure of how the guy did the Goo watching the Warriors. It's Steph, but when he goes out, who's that other, who's your guy that you watch more than the rest, you know, that you're entertained by? And it was Wiseman for me. And now that Wiseman is gone, and I know our guy's coming up in about 7 minutes, but it's JTA for me, Dibs. And you got to give your boy credit. I'm talking about me. I've come in here even when they've lost. Like, why didn't he play after having a good game? But he's my second guy now after Steph. Who's your second guy that you know, when Steph goes out that you, I'm watching my boy right here. Do you have one? Random.
Well, yeah, it is a little bit random. And it's Damian Lee at times, but I think it's become Juan Toscano-Anderson because – he plays with that edge. You know, he plays where it feels like watching him, every possession matters more than any other thing in his world. And this is not to take a shot at Andrew Wiggins, but Wiggins plays with that. It's almost a disaffected.
Oh, huh.
It's not disinterest, but yeah, he's just, you know, he's out there and he's doing what he does. And you're starting to see him emote a little bit more, show some emotion. But, you know, something about Juan Toscano-Anderson, and not just last night with the emphatic dunk and the three ball and the best game of his career, but he's getting after it. If the ball's loose, he's the first one to dive on the floor. He's going hard for the glass. He's out there trying to take charges. And so maybe it's because he's an East Oakland guy and, you know, he's a local kid made good, but he's the one I like to watch out there.
Yeah, he really is, I think, the best of all a bunch of different worlds when you look at what he brings to the table. He doesn't complain, you know, whether he's in that rotation or he's kicked to, you know, being out of the rotation, which has happened basically just as far as because of being a numbers game. Like, it's nothing else. It's just, hey, other players are back, so you get kicked down the line. Teammates love him, provides toughness, plays multiple positions, high basketball IQ, and he's a guy that can step right in and be in the rotation, Goo, even if you take him out of the rotation for a number of games, and he'll play and step in without skipping a beat. My guy's Poole, just from an evaluation standpoint,
JP?
He's not my favorite player. I know that's a surprise, right? Because he's not my favorite player, but there is some benefit. It's kind of like you with Wiseman, right? I mean, Curry's the show. Wiseman's the guy that you want to evaluate, and now we're not, unfortunately, going to get a chance to, but Poole is the next guy for me, just because I think we know what Wiggins is, we know who Oubre is, we know a lot of these guys. Poole is the one that I watch just in terms of, can he be a part of something bigger next year?
No doubt. And just real quick, back to JTA, it's like Trevor Lawrence in the draft, the scouts. This is why we love sports. Everybody think he's going to be the man, but we've seen it. He could be Jamarcus Russell, and sometimes you just miss. And I guess where I'm going, if we're all giving JTA his flowers, how come he had to go the route of the Mexican League? Like, why weren't these intangibles? Why didn't he get the benefit of the doubt? And I'm not saying he's perfect, Dibs, but why did he have to go that route to come back now and scout be like, and they do get it wrong, oh, man, this guy can play. That amazes me, man.
Well, he averaged 4.5 points a game at Marquette coming off the bench. So when you look at, you know, the metrics, and it's only two rounds in the NBA draft, and, you know, you've got so many overseas players who could have shown more at that point. And you can't look at Juan Toscano-Anderson at Marquette and say, oh, absolutely, he's a ready-made rotational player, you know, especially when it comes to the draft and there's so few slots for players to get drafted. And, you know, to show your determination and to show the intangibles, you have to go out and show those intangibles. And when you go to Mexico and you become one of the best players in their league and you play for the Mexican national team and you show on the court those intangibles, and then he comes to Santa Cruz and he gets a shot in a tryout, and he's able to continue to demonstrate those sorts of things. And, you know, he came into the league at the right time because he's somebody who can play up-tempo in this new NBA. Maybe if it's 10 years ago, he doesn't have the same opportunity to play. You know, now that it's positionless basketball, JD, and he's a guy who can guard 1 through 5, he fits. 10 years ago, maybe he doesn't fit like he does now. So it's good timing. It's the right organization at the right time. And it's his own dogged determination to show that he can be one in the NBA.
And there's a little bit of Draymond to him. There's a little right. bit of and that's what, to your point about the positionless nature, but also the skill set, the ability to do a little bit of everything. And I think that's been the backup to Draymond has been, I think, an issue for this Warriors team. They don't really have that stretch four that you put out there that's going to knock down threes. But Juan, he does a lot of the little things similar to the way Draymond, and some nights, like last night, he does knock down threes. That's the part for me that's enticing, Goo, is if he can become a consistent three-point shooter, then forget about being on your team. He can be in your rotation on a night-in, night-out basis if he's making threes because he's tough and he does everything else.
Yeah, and we've seen him, you know, verbally, you know, be an enforcer, talk that talk. But I got to give our guy Shasky credit here, too, because, Dibs, you know, I always think there's a comp. And I said, I get 2014-15 Draymond vibes from JTA. And Shasky, to his credit, said he gets Matt Barnes vibes. And I thought to myself, you know, Matt can hit the three, you know, now and again. But either one of those is a compliment to JTA.
I like that Matt Barnes comp. And, you know, I was hoping that when you were giving Shasky flowers, I could immediately tear him down because that's what I do. You know, that's kind of my nature. But dang it, I think Shasky might have nailed. I've golfed with him and his father, Joe Sr. I love the Shaskys. Shout out Sharp Park in Pacifica. We had a nice time out there. Shaskys are good people. And I'd like to say that when I called Juan Anderson at the time, his high school game, I wish I could say that I knew then that he would become the player that he's become. But I don't think I quite had it back then when Castro Valley took on San Leandro at Chabot College, Goo. Your boy was I might have been doing color commentary that day. But it was Jared Cunningham who went on to Oregon State against Juan Anderson, Juan Toscano Anderson, who, of course, went to Castro Valley. Quite a matchup out there at Chabot College, Goo.
And I got to imagine it was a packed house.
Absolutely packed. And such a big matchup that they couldn't hold the game in the Dro or at Castro Valley. They had to move it to the neutral. And that's back when I was working for Comcast Hometown Network, CHN, the now defunct CHN.
What did you think? Real quick, what did you think of Juan then? Did you say this kid can go to the next level? Or were you like, okay, you got something?
Well, he was already committed to Marquette. And so, you know, you could see the D1 talent. I didn't think that he was going to be a player to make it to the association. But the athleticism was crazy. But admittedly, at the time, I thought Jared Cunningham had a little bit more of an NBA-type game. He to me, was more Klay Thompson-esque. The kid could flat-out shoot, and he could score. And I thought Juan Anderson at the time was more just pure athletic, not as much of an upside.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, he fits. I mean, he fits today's NBA game, and he fits the Warriors style of game. And I think, you know, that there's a place for him on this Warriors team moving forward. It's just going to be to what extent. And that's what this year is really about. I mean, I know they've won 4 in a row for the first time, and they're 28-28, and JTA is going to join us here momentarily on 95.7 The Game, Steiny, Guru, and Dibs here on a Friday. But it's about finding the pieces and, you know, auditioning, if you want to call it that, but who's going to be a part of this thing next year, Goo, when this team moves from, you know, play-in to fringe six seed and tries to vault themselves back up into that top half of the West?
Yeah, that's up for, you know, Myers and Joe Lacob because, guys,
you know, depending on this year, let's just say they're one and done if they get to a playoff series. Next year, they're going to be 3 years removed from last time, you know, being a factor or a threat. And again, to me, Dibs, there's no way you can look at this current Warrior team and not think about how do we get Steph another one. And right now, you got an injured Clay. You got an injured rookie who will be entering his second season. There's just so many questions that it's a tall task. Let's just say that, to get this team back to being a threat to win it all.
Yeah, and it's going to take probably more than just one big star. You know, if you got the one star, would that be enough? Or I'm of the mind, JD, and I think you're with me, where you'd be better off to get 2 to 3, maybe even 4 solid rotational players to go alongside with what you have.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get to it. Joining us now, it's an absolute pleasure to be joined by Warriors forward Juan Toscano-Anderson, coming off the 20-point game last night, 8 of 9 from the floor, the career high. JTA, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot. And how are you this morning?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well here in Boston. It's snowing. Last time I seen snow like this was when I was in college at Marquette, so definitely don't miss this.
Yeah, being out in the Bay, right? That's a whole different ball game now. Being back in the Bay on a regular basis, that's got to be kind of nice to be around what you grew up with.
Oh yeah, for sure. You can't beat the California sunshine, man. So you pay for that, pay for the weather, pay for the location. I'm definitely appreciative of it.
JTA, I want to give you credit, man, and it's not because of last night, but I've come in here after Warrior losses to where you've had a great game, and then the next game you might be a DMP. And I'll come in here like, why didn't Juan play? You know, he had a good game the game before. Can you walk us through your mindset of driving home the night that you don't play after having a good game and basically having the ability to stay ready?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I sat here and said it didn't get frustrating sometimes, but I mean, it's just the way it is right now. And so, I play my role. I always laugh around. I always tell people, everybody has to play their role to make the movie work. You know, everybody can't be the main character or even, the supporting cast. Sometimes you got to sit it out. And so, I just wait my time, man. I'm here in the NBA. I'm still trying to establish myself, and the best thing I can do is just, be ready when my number's called. And so whenever it is called, I just try to be ready to perform.
You talked about the movie, and your story will make someday an incredible movie, going from, 95th to Miss Addles teaching you at Montero Middle School. You go to Castro Valley and then to Mexico and you make it back. Do you allow yourself time to just step back and realize and appreciate just how remarkable your journey has been?
Yeah, I mean, I'm appreciative every day just because I know what life can be. But at the same time, I am getting kind of tired of being, this super cool story. I mean, I understand it's a cool story to some, but, I feel like I deserve to be here. I've earned this. I've worked for it. And so I'm kind of past that. But, in regards to appreciation, I'll never take this game for granted. This game has changed my life. It's such a fun game. And, it beats having any other job. So as far as appreciation goes, I'll do my best to always stay grounded and, be appreciative of the basketball.
Juan Toscano-Anderson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. It's Steiny Guru and Dibs here on a Friday. Juan, what's changed over the course of these last four games? The tough loss against the Wizards on Friday, you guys get the win against Houston, and now it really seems like you're rolling. What has triggered this run to get this squad back to 500?
I think it's just finding a groove. There's a lot of games in the season. You're going to have some low points, some high points. That's what I'm learning. But, the best teams always find ways to win. And so I think it's just a matter of us clicking, a matter of everybody knowing their roles. And, you know, even though I'm not sure what place we're in, whether we're in 10th or 9th, but, you know, we still have a shot at the playoffs. And I think, with us clicking now, I think it's the perfect time. You know, we could sit here and say it's unfortunate that it's at the end of the season or, you know, whatever the time frame may be. But like I said, gearing up to get ready for playoffs, I think us clicking now is, you know, what better than, you know, going into the playoffs if we can get in.
Juan, we have fun on the show all year long, you know, after every Warriors game reacting. And my thing has been they go get hot. And, you know, you get a little white hot but not real hot. And then last night I see you on the post game with our guy Bonte and Molly, and you say nobody wants to see the Dubs in a 7-game series. I jumped up off the couch screaming at the TV like, that's it. Did you feel that way before the 4-game winning streak, or have you always had that mindset? Because I'm with you. Nobody want to see y'all in a 7-game series.
I mean, you know, I'm not sitting here saying that we're going to beat every team and win the championship. By no means am I saying that just yet. But I don't think any team is looking at the standings saying, you know, we'd rather have Golden State over any team, or we'd rather see Steph Curry every night over any team. And, you know, I truly believe that. You know, that guy, man, when you have that guy on your team and everybody's doing their job and playing well, I think we can be a really good team. So I'm excited to see what we can do in the playoffs. I think we can surprise a lot of people. I think we have the pieces. I think it's just a matter of putting it all together. And so I truly believe that. I don't think any team is looking at their schedule and, you know, having us as their preference and opponent. Mm.
You mentioned Steph Curry, and right now he's on an historic run with the 9 straight games over 30 points. What is it like seeing somebody up close like that who is on such a heater, who's playing in the flow state as he has been for the better part of a month now?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's amazing to watch. It's kind of funny because I don't even know if he heard me in the middle of the game. I don't even remember what he did, honestly, because there's just so many plays that he's amazing. But in the middle of the game, I'm running back on defense. I'm like, damn, man, like, you continue to impress me every game. And I just laughed it off. But it's true, man. He's so impressive. He does crazy things. And it's just such a pleasure to be playing alongside of a GOAT, man. I truly believe if – you know, I always tell people, man, Steph Curry is going to be arguably a top 10 player, you know, to ever play the game. But I think if he can get to 5-6 rings, I think there's no debate in having him in the top 5, you know, to ever play the game. I mean, why could you not? Unanimous MVP, championships. I mean, he's done pretty much everything. So I would love for him to get those 5-6 rings and, you know, shut all that conversation down, you know, at least for him to be in the top 5, in my opinion.
Juan Toscano-Anderson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Juan, how much do you take from Draymond? Because there are comps, you know, hey, Juan, you know, does a little of this and a little of that, a little bit of everything, plays with an edge. You know, Draymond obviously brings those things to the table. I see you vibing with Damian Lee, too, who brings a little bit of an edge. How much do you vibe off of Draymond, and how much of the success of this team this season when they are successful is it's a whole lot of Steph, but it's also bringing that edge, like y'all got something to prove?
Yeah, I mean, at least for myself, I do have something to prove every night. Like I said, I'm trying to establish myself in this league still. As for learning from Draymond, I think it's really a treat. You know, I don't take it for granted. I've always been a fan of Draymond. I've always loved what he does, and he's always been one of my favorite players. You know, the average basketball fan doesn't see his impact and his presence on the game, and a lot of what he does not show up in the stat sheet, even though he's notching triple-doubles here and there. But, you know, there's a huge chunk of what he does that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. So that's the difference, man. You need guys like that. You need guys like Draymond. You know, I would hope for a team to need a guy like myself, but you need guys like that to surround Steph Curry, because Steph is going to do what he's going to do. It's just up to everybody else to, you know, do their job. And so I'm always trying to bring value to a team. I always want my teammates to know that I have their back. You know, when I put that jersey on, I'm ready to go to war for my team. So, and I just got that edge, man. like I said, I could be anywhere else in the world doing anything, but here I am playing professional basketball for the Warriors. So, you know, it's me or you when we out there competing, and I would much rather it be me. So, you know, that's just the edge I carry.
I love it. Straight perspective. JTA, this is going to be random, but I got to ask you. You know, our society, our world now, so much is predicated on social media. And as an athlete, I'm just curious, you know, and I won't bring up it, you know, we see the Durants responding to people on social media. How much do you look at it, and do you want to respond to trolls, or do you just look at it and put it down? Like how does JTA handle social media?
You know what, man, that social media is a very precious thing, like, or I shouldn't say precious, a very fragile thing. You know, like, I sit there and I'll respond to somebody just out of, I get bored too. You know, I'm a normal human being. You know, I get bored just like everybody else does. You know, sometimes I'm looking for entertainment, and, you know, I don't sit there and respond to everybody. I sit there and troll people, and I have to catch myself, because then there's a million comments, people saying, you know, don't let that bother you. Then people are screenshotting and putting it on Twitter. As for, you know, a few weeks ago, there was a guy that was saying I wasn't, you know, he didn't see me as being a rotational piece for the Warriors. And that part kind of bothered me, just because it's like I would never walk into Elon Musk's office, or I would never walk into Jay-Z's studio and critique what they're doing. You know why I would never do that is because I'm not a professional at what they do. And I just do not understand how people nowadays feel like their opinion is valued or warranted. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. As for myself, like I said, I would never walk into another professional's domain and critique them. And I don't understand why people who have never played basketball at this level are critiquing people. So I have my opinions. I keep them to myself. I don't go out on social media. I don't do anything. I mind my business. But it doesn't bother me, man. When I'm on the phone, I'm looking at it, I'll respond. And then when I put my phone down, I go back to my regular life, because my regular life is cracking. I got people who love me. I play basketball. I'm healthy. I got family. So I'm not worried about those people on the internet, man. A lot of that stuff is just out of, you know, like I said, boredom. I'm a normal person like everybody else. I get bored. I have downtime in my day, and, you know, sometimes I'm just respond.
That's how much are you right? Looking forward to being back home at Chase Center and having fans actually in the arena? Because I know myself and many of the listeners out there, we're dying to see you guys in person. Is that something you're looking forward to having happen again soon?
Hell yeah, I'm so excited to have fans. I can't wait. You know, last year was a lot of fun having fans in the building. And it's just been, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still been fun to compete, but, you know, the fans bring a whole different dynamic to the game. They bring just so much more energy. You know, I think it brings out a lot of competitiveness in guys, and so I'm looking forward to it. And I think we got some great fans, man. You know, Dub Nation is dope. It's kind of funny that I'm calling them Dub Nation, and I used to be a part of Dub Nation. So I'm just super excited, man, to have fans back. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Juan, how much, if at all, have you given thought toward next year and just the desire to continue to be a part of something special as this team, you know, tries to ramp back to getting to a championship caliber level again? I know you've played your way, I think everybody would agree, into where you're going to be playing somewhere on somebody's team in somebody's rotation. But how much would you like that to be with the Warriors specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I catch myself thinking about it sometimes, but I have to check myself. You know, I always have to get – I just want to get through today. I don't want to consume myself with things that are, you know, out of my control. In the ideal world, yeah, it would be great to stay and play for the Warriors, but at the end of the day, I do understand it's a business, and, you know, the Warriors will do what's best for – what they feel like is best for the Warriors, and – you know, I'll do what's best for what I feel like is best for Juan. And so with all that being said, though, I think it would be ideal for me to stay home and play. Who would not want to, you know, be playing for their home team? And then not only that, it's just I mean, every night's fun, man. You know, in the locker room, I asked Steph, I'm like, what are you going to do tonight? You going to put on a show tonight? But I say those things because I truly am enjoying, you know, what I have going for myself right now. Those are the little things that are fun, that I get to really just kick comments like that to Steph, like the greatest shooter in the world, and be like, hey, yo, 30, what you doing tonight? Like, I'll be able to tell my kids and my grandkids and stuff like that. So I just try to enjoy the moment and not think too deeply about what's to come. You know, I said a lot of that stuff is out of my control.
Love it. Hey, JTA, I'm watching you hit threes last night, celebrate. You bring the intangibles, and I know you're in season. And I'm thinking to myself, he can bring the ball up. What part of your game, like, how do you expand? Let's just say it, you fast forward to the offseason. What would JTA say? You know what? I'm going to go in the lab and work on this, or I'd like to develop this.
Well, I definitely want to continue mastering what, you know, what's expected of me. I want to be a superstar in my role. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to try to add some things to my game, improve my ball handling, improve my finishing around the rim, get a consistent floater maybe and things like that. I just want to be super versatile, and I think that's where my value has always been. And I think that's why, you know, Steve likes me is just because he can pretty much plug me anywhere he needs me to or he needs to. So, man, I got a lot of work to do this summer. I still feel like my back is against the wall. You know, I don't have a guaranteed contract, and I'm gonna approach every day like that. You know, I'm still on an audition.
Juan, for those of us who haven't played in the league, and I don't like my chances at 5'8" and 52 years old, we kind of live through guys like you. What's a better feeling, the two hand smash at the rim or draining a three ball from the right wing?
That one last night, I'm gonna go with the dunk.
That
one just felt good. That one felt really good. I hadn't got a dunk like that all year. I don't know. Maybe I had the little windmill. That was cool. But that dunk was just different. I was able to just, I don't know. It just felt different. So I'm gonna go with the dunk.
Man.
Yeah, that one felt good. That one was a lot of fun.
JTA out there balling.
I got to think,
balling.
Though, Juan, the three ball's got to feel good for you, too, though, because I know you put in a lot of work with that three ball specifically, and it's really paid off for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Hard work pays off, and I know that sounds so cliche, but it's so true. You know, I'm in there every day working with, you know, my coaches, trying to improve, trying to stay consistent. Trying to extend my range. And I'm understanding of what's needed in this offense. I'm understanding of what's needed to play around guys like Clay, Steph, and Dre. And so, you know, that's the core. I feel like that's what's being built around. And so I'm understanding of that. And so I have to improve in the places where my value is. So this is going to be a big summer for me, man. I'm super excited. I'm super excited to get to work. Last summer was the first summer since I've been playing professional where I've had, you know, all the resources that I needed, I guess, per se. You know, I had a consistent weight room. I had, food, consistent, you know, just nutrition, all that stuff, treatments, film, all that stuff. I've never had that consistently every day at any point in time in my professional career. So I take full advantage of those resources I have now.
Juan, you're definitely taking advantage with the way you've been playing, and we really appreciate you taking some time out. And best of luck on the rest of the road trip, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. Juan Toscano-Anderson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff. Good guy. Yeah. One of our favorites, and he delivered, Dibs.
Really cool. And I just watching him last night, and you know, obviously 7 of 8 from the floor and a career night, but he hits the three, and you could see he was excited and happy about it, as he should be. And then the two-hand smash at the rim, it just had me thinking, Goo, like, what's that got to be like? You know, playing with Steph is one thing, and that's just special in its own right. But to ball out like that in the league, and forget where, you know, where he's come from and his great story, but just to be able to do that, Goo, one time, let me go up with two hands and just hammer one down.
And it came with the fake pass. You thought he was going to hand off. So everybody went, which way did he go? And then you see him turn the corner, JT, and go up with two. Well, I'm knocking stuff over.
Whoa.
But the quote of the interview is,
"Look,
my regular life is cracking." I love that, man. That's better. My regular that's perspective. And then he said, "I don't got a guaranteed contract, so he ain't got time to be you know, he ain't taking nothing for granted." And that's what we love, man.
Yeah, he doesn't have one. He's gonna have one though, and I think it's gonna wind up being with the Warriors, to where he can be kind of that plug and play dude, Goo. Is it the backup four? Is it a three? They played him at the five earlier in the year, and some even last night. The small ball five, Goo, as far as you know, just making things happen. Go ahead, Kyle. I missed you there. You got something?
Yeah, one of the interesting things he said was how he doesn't want to be the cool story anymore. And that was something I kind of noticed last night was, yeah, it's still a cool story how he got there, but this is a guy that belongs in the NBA. This isn't a bad player putting up 20. This is a guy who's a legit NBA player in an NBA rotation for a playoff team.
Kyle runs the show.
That's a great drop.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we're back? We're back, Dibs?
We're back. We're back.
Kyle deserves to be on shaky ground.
Yeah, and it's... I get what he's saying, but his story is going to make an incredible movie someday. It's a ready-made movie, and you know, hopefully the end of it is him winning an NBA championship with his hometown Warriors. But and I can understand what he wants to distance himself from. Oh, quaint little story to, nah, he's a real player now in the NBA.
And yeah, the rat on the table. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Goo.
I was just gonna say the rat on the table is. You guys may disagree, but this Wiseman injury has given him more run.
It has.
Is that fair or foul? Yeah.
No, it's given him more run. I mean, he's been out of the rotation at times where, you know, you'd think he deserves to be in the rotation, Goo. I mean, you basically have to take someone away to force Steve Kerr to put him, you know, back in there on a regular basis. So coming up, we'll get some reaction to this interview with Juan Toscano-Anderson. We'll talk a little bit more Dubs, and we're also going to switch gears. You're not going to want to believe what the potential number one pick in the NFL draft had to say. All of that is coming up here as Steiny, Guru, and Dibs rolls on here on a Friday on 95.7 The Game.
Time for the Exergen temperature check. It's 66 degrees and sunny in Pleasant Hill.